the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loved to have the preeminence among them, received us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbidden them that would, and cast them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Demetrius hath good report of all men, and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee. But I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again, I want to thank you for the Bible, God's wonderful word. I want to thank you for the great privilege we at Blessed Hope Baptist Church have to gather together regular basis, Lord, and just study the Bible, hear it preached, and Lord, hear it taught in Sunday school classes and children's churches and Lord and Master's clubs and youth and all of those other ministries that we have here. I thank you so much for the privilege of just having the Bible, the Word of God. And Lord, once again tonight as we study this wonderful book, I ask you, God, to empower us, and Lord, to give us the wisdom we need to preach your word tonight and use us to thy glory. And we'll thank and praise you for all you've done, all you're going to do, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. John wrote a book here to a man. It was an address to a certain church, although he was dealing with a church in it. He wrote a book to a man by the name of Gaius. Now, Gaius is found five different times in the Bible. Four other times besides this, we hear of a man named Gaius. I read one of those scriptures to you this morning in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, where it said Paul baptized Gaius. And there's then three other ones besides that, and we find the name Gaius. I do not know if they're the same person or not. They tell me that that was a very popular name in those days. So it might not be the absolutely the same one in each account here that we find him in five different times. But I do know this. This man here by the name of Gaius was some swell fellow. He was a good Christian. And the reason I know that is because John the Beloved loved him. He was well beloved of him. And John the Beloved was himself was, remember it said he referred to himself as the disciple that Jesus loved. And now he's telling us that he loved Gaius. And so I think he was a fine Christian man, dedicated Christian man. In fact, it'd be good if people would name their children after Gaius. I mean, making sure you get the right one, you could call him John the Third Gaius. That way you'd know he was the Gaius of John. Third John. So you know that. I'm just giving some thoughts out there you might think about when you name your children. But Gaius was a good fellow and a good Christian, good dedicated man. So anyway, he was a dedicated person, and John loved him so much, and he wrote a letter to him because there was some problems in the church. But now mainly when he deals with this, he did not deal with basically, first of all, the problems. He did come to a problem in the church, and he dealt with it. and said, when I say dealt with it, he talked about it, and he said, when I come, I'll take care of it. But he wanted to say some things here to this Gaius, and I believe to encourage him in the Lord because of the division that was there in that church. And there definitely was division there in that church. There was a man in the church who thought that he was a God's gift to the church and he was supposed to run everything. And we're going to talk about him in just for a little while, in a few minutes. But anyway, we find that Gaius here was on the other side. When I'm saying there was division, he was on the other side. He was a man who loved God and loved the people who was coming through into the church, the missionaries, the people whom God sent. We've got to understand in those days, it wasn't like this. We didn't have a building that we could just come into and everybody gathered together. Now, later on, it did become that, but most of the time they met in houses, met together in houses. Most of the time, certainly, you did not go into a city. You did not find 15 independent fundamental Baptist churches. I mean, you know, and that is a problem today. When I say that, the reason it's a problem is because you know what you can do? You can absolutely go and find whatever you want, whether it's scriptural or not. You can just find whatever you want. Whatever suits your fancy. And I say it's a problem because of that, but that's okay. That's fine. I'm glad if there's Baptist churches out there getting people saved. I'm thankful for it and grateful for it. And I'm just glad for it. I just want to see people saved. But anyway, Gaius was having some problems, so John came along and encouraged him. I believe that Gaius more than likely was what we would call a layman. I believe he was a man who gave himself and his material blessings to see to it that the Word of God went forth. I believe this is the kind of individual that Gaius was. He was well spoken of. The beloved Apostle John here loved him and said he loved him in the truth. And what he was saying then, it's like we would say, I love you in Christ. I love you in the truth. I love you in Christ. And he loved him in the truth. He loved him in Christ. That's a good thing to say. We love each other in Christ. That's a right, proper thing to say. So we go on and we find in verse number 2 that he says, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. I get by reading that verse of Scripture that Gaius' soul certainly was prospering. I take that from that Scripture. I believe that John knew that he was a very spiritual man. He was growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord on a real regular basis. He was just growing in the Lord, and his soul was prospering because of it. That is something that each and every one of us needs to look at in our life. We need to just kind of take a view of our life and see, are we prospering? Is our soul prospering? Are we growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord? Or are we simply stagnated? And, of course, I know the whole truth. We're never stagnated, either backwards or forward. But what are we doing for the Lord? Or are we going forward? Is our soul prospering? Well, it ought to be. Amen. Every single one of us ought to be able to say, you know, we've grown this year in the Lord. We've made some strides. We've become closer to the Lord. We've learned some things. God's taught us some things. We've learned some lessons that God's using in our life. That's the way your soul prospers. And he said that his soul was prospering. Now, I don't know that he had any health problems. It doesn't say he did, but he wanted him to have good health. He wanted his health to prosper just as his soul prospered. And I think that's true. If any of us, I know as a pastor, you may not think so. I hope you don't, but I want you to prosper. I want your health to prosper. Concerns me when you're not well. I want you to prosper. I also want your souls to prosper. I want you to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. You see, that's more important to me than your health or my health, although I want you to have good health. I want you to have good health. I want God to bless you in a real wonderful way and that you would have good health and your health and also your soul would prosper. That's right. That's what John was saying here to Gaius. He wanted him to have a healthy body, wanted him to have a healthy soul, and I'm sure he wanted him to have a healthy mind. And he just wanted the very best for Gaius here. And certainly that's what we ought to want for each other. Amen. I believe we ought to want for each other that each one of us would prosper physically, prosper our soul and our growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. We ought to want that. We ought to desire that for each other. In verse number 3, he talks about, "For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in truth." We find here that the brethren had come and reported to John that these brethren were growing in the Lord. Gaius and the other brethren of the church was growing in the Lord, and their soul was prospering. Good things was going on. This brought great joy. It didn't just bring rejoicing. The Bible said it brought great rejoicing. That'll encourage each other's heart when we hear of the faith of God's people. When I hear of God's people walking in truth and loving the Lord and going forward and their soul prospering, I don't know about you, but that I rejoice in that, and that really encourages me. That's an encouragement to me, certainly to my heart. I think it ought to be to each other. You've got to remember, folks, this is a family of God. You've got to remember, folks, every person in this room is very, very important. Amen. And so we want and we rejoice when good things happen. Now, we also know that God is not always going to allow every good thing to happen in our life that we would consider good. It is good, because if God allows it, it'll good, and He'll work it out for good. But there's going to be some hardships in your life and my life. There's going to be some persecutions, but there are also going to be some trials in our life. That's a part of the Christian life. That's the way it's going to be. But John here was rejoicing that people had come to the church there where he was at, and they were saying, these people are really going forward for God. And that's what he rejoiced on. That's what really, really helped him and encouraged his heart. If you'll notice there, he says, "I rejoice greatly that the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth." There has to be truth in us before we can walk in truth. Get a hold of that. There has to be truth in us before we can walk in truth. People is not going to walk in truth if truth is not in us. We've got to be willing to study the Bible, listen to the Word of God, do as it says, get those applied into our heart, the principles of God's Word applied to our heart, and then we'll be able to walk in truth. And we'll do that when we know the truth. Study the Bible. Read the Bible. Amen. Listen to preaching. Don't ever get tired of it. Learn something from every message that you hear. Learn something from every Sunday school class that you hear. Amen. So I say to you, that's what really John was rejoicing over. And he was thankful for the fact that this had come to his there where he was at, and people had reported this and rejoiced about it. So he goes on, and he says next that he said, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." I have no idea. I cannot say that Gaius was one of John's converts. I do not know that, but I think there may be a good chance he was. All I know is John considered these people here at this church his children. He certainly probably was instrumental in helping them possibly come to the Lord and then to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. You got to remember something. This man was an apostle. And he was a great man of God, greatly used of God. And he said, I just rejoice greatly. It's the greatest thing for me to just know that my children walk in truth. Amen. There's not a mommy or daddy in this room today that would not say amen to the fact if their physical children was walking in the truth, that did not bring great joy to them. Amen. I witnessed a little bit of that yesterday at our work party. I hope Brother Hall don't mind me telling, but Brother Hall came over and told me, and he was telling me about his son Levi, and he said he'd got some birthday money. And had some extra money, and he went out and instead of buying maybe something silly or something, he went out and bought him one of these power drills. You know, 14.4 power drills, you know, has two batteries with it, the whole thing. I mean, he went out and bought it. He was very proud of him as a daddy. I don't know whether he recognized him. He was just smiling all over himself. But he was proud of him because Levi wanted to buy something that he could use and brought it yesterday and used it. There he is, sitting back there. Used it at the work party. Amen. So I'm telling you, it don't take a whole lot to tickle us parents. Amen. We just get tickled over those things, and we rejoice over things when we just see even the smallest things in our life, that in our children's lives that are heading in the right direction, we just rejoice. Amen? Moms and dads, isn't that true? Sure you do. Well, John was saying that, and he was saying it, I believe, basically on, of course, a spiritual plane. And he was saying, oh, if I just, because he said he's walking in truth, he said, what really I rejoice over is that my children walk in truth. Amen. And I want to tell you what. I want to tell you from a pastor's standpoint, to see God's people in his congregation that he preaches in, to see them walking in the truth, you just can't do anything more for me than that. That is one of the greatest joys that comes into my heart when I see people willing to listen to the Bible, the Word of God, and make the applications that need to be made in their life and begin to walk in truth. I rejoice. And you know what I believe? I believe you do too also. I believe as you look at the brethren in this church and you see people who are striving to walk with God and to growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, I believe that that really rejoices your heart also. That does something for you. Yes, we understand that there's going to be some bumps in the road, if you want to call them that. There's going to be some times when they don't always do what they maybe they should do. But let me say to you, to see them grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord rejoices this pastor's heart, and I'm sure it rejoices your heart. It encourages you. I've told you many times, I look around here and I see people in this church, and I want to tell you right now, if you're not here in a service, it grieves me. You may not understand that, but it grieves me. I want you here. And by being here, just your presence of being in this place, being where you ought to be, because that's where God's put you, I rejoice. And it rejoices the other ones. It rejoices the faithfulness. It just rejoices the church. It does something for the church. I'm thankful tonight we have a good crowd here. Oh, I wish there was more. Pastors are never satisfied. I wish there's more. You see, I wish there's just a whole bunch more. I wish there wasn't any, wood family. I can say it. There any wood family. You know, that's them pews that are wood. Amen. And I wish you couldn't see a bit of that wood. Just people packed all over the place, just everywhere. And that would be good. But I rejoice that we have a good crowd tonight, that you're here in the services. You see, that helps me. That helps me on Sunday night when I go home. Sunday night, I don't know whether you know it or not, is notorious for preachers. The day is done. The week is done. You're done. You're preached. And you go home and you just fall apart. Really do. You just fall apart. And I'm just saying that's just the way it is. You may not understand it, but that's just the way it is. And don't ask me to make a decision on Sunday night. I don't want to make very many personal decisions on Sunday night. Amen. You see, many preachers resign every Sunday night. They get up Monday morning and they go back to work. But they resign on Sunday night. Amen. So that's just the way it is. I just thought I'd share that with you. You didn't know that, did you? If you're not a preacher, you didn't know those things going on. But Sunday night is just kind of a tough one. You're done. You're over, and it's all behind you for another week. And you you just kind of fall apart. Amen. So I'm just simply saying that. So what I'm saying is the people. Not that you want just to encourage me. I don't want you just to encourage me. It does encourage me. But I want you to encourage the brethren. I want the brethren to be able to come and say, we had a good crowd tonight. God's people was there. The congregation, the family of God was there together. And boy, I'm encouraged at what God's going to do for us. And that encourages us. Amen. So I want to thank you for your faithfulness, being in your place, and just loving God and walking with God and just doing what you're supposed to do. I want to thank you so much for that. I appreciate it. I'm with the Apostle John. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. I'm always thankful to hear when people that maybe I've been instrumental in helping to come to Christ, and I hear about the report of them, and they're over here loving God, walking with God. They may not be here, but they're walking with God, and all that rejoices my heart. We've got young people that came out of this church who's preaching the Word of God, preaching God's Word, and that rejoices my heart. You see, my desire was, especially when we came back to Blessed Hope Baptist Church, one of my greatest desires was, I said, God, I want you to help me make this a training place for God's people. I want to see God's people. I want to see young people trained for God. That's one of my greatest desires, and God has fulfilled that. God has given that to us. Well, we're not done, but God has done that. We've seen multitudes, many anyway, out of this church that's preparing to serve God. And I'm not just talking about they have to be in full-time service. They go out from this church loving God, walking with God, being good, solid families that are just faithful to their local churches. That rejoices the heart of a preacher. And it rejoices the heart of the brethren when they see this. So John was saying that. And then we find in verse number 5, he says, Beloved, thou dost faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. If you noticed here, what he was talking about is there was people coming through the church there where Gaius was, and they was helping them. As I said before, you've got to understand there was a lot of traveling going back and forth, walking from place to place and city to city. And when they came to this city, sometimes they would know the brethren, sometimes they would not know the brethren. They was strangers, but they were brethren. He wasn't telling us to just take because he's dealing with helping them and furthering them along as they work for God. That's what he's talking about. As they're in the ministry, as they're serving God, they're being a missionary. We would call them like an evangelist. They're coming through, and they was helping them on their way. And God said that is a proper and right thing to do. He said, Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. So he said, you're very faithful about that. Let me help you a little bit. That's one of the reasons when we have missionaries come through, we bring them in, we let them preach, we always help them down the road. We always give them a good offering. That is proper, that is right. And when we have an evangelist come in that will spend a week of his time here preaching the Word of God to us, it is proper and right that we take care of that evangelist and take him on down the road to do the work of God. It is right and proper. And God called them, said they are faithful in doing that. Now, they may not have had big meetings like we have and pay a big evangelist something to do like that, or maybe even had missionaries in like we do, but they had them coming through, and when they come through, they helped them. And God said that's right and proper to do. Can I say something to you and say it in kindness? Don't ever be stingy. Just don't be stingy. You'll never win that game by being stingy. Always help God's people. Always help them. Be a blessing to them. Encourage them and help them. God will bless you if you will do that. That's what he's teaching here. If you'll notice, in verse number 6, he says, Which have borne witness of the charity, the love, before the church. Now these people who had been helped along has come along and said, bore witness before the church. You know what? Those folk down there sure did help us. Sure was a blessing to us. I usually put those letters on the board, whether you read them or not, I don't know, but I put them on the board. But time after time, when people come through here, they'll send back a notice and say, thank you so much. Thank you for the prophet's chamber out there. You give us a place to stay. And it was so nice. It was just something that we could relax in. I've heard this over and over. And thank you for the generous offerings that you gave us. I had one evangelist write me back two or three years ago, and he said, and he told me this just here a while back, said it was the biggest offering I've ever had in all of my life as an evangelist. It's the biggest offering I've ever had. And he thanked me over and over. Well, it's not about money, folks. It's not about money. But you know what? Sometimes they just need that extra. Amen. I mean, you know the set payroll or the set amount of money a person gets. Sometimes, you know, they just need extra. And you take an evangelist, you take a missionary, come through. They just got extra. They just got extra things they need. Just like you do. Amen. So he was saying here that they was to show kindness to God's servant by taking care of them while they were in God's work. They're doing God's work, and they should be taken care of. Let me tell you, here the other day, I received a telephone call from a man who wanted to come to our church. Well, what he said was this. Here's how he said it. It's kind of a new approach. It's okay, but I want to tell you, after a bit, missionaries, they had to do anything to get a meeting. And they come up with all kinds of new approaches. He wasn't being unkind. He just simply said, Brother Ross, he said, I've looked on the map. I see where your church is at. And he said, I'm coming through there. I cannot remember the date, but seems like it was in July, but I'm not sure. Okay? And he said, I'm coming through there. Would you mind if I come to your services? Well, I said, Brother, I wouldn't mind a bit if you come to my services. Tell me about yourself. Tell me where you're from. And he told me where he's from, school he was going to, and all that's going into missions and all that. Now, because of the school that he went to, or was going, yes, that he went to, I'm not going to probably give him a meeting. But I'm going to treat him with the greatest of kindness. I said, I'll tell you what, brother, you come through here, we'll see, you have a place to stay. I'll take care of your meals. We'll take care of you. We'll be a blessing to you. And he thanked me over and over for it. I said, I mean that. You come through. You let me know when you're coming. And I said, I'll see to it. You have a place to stay. I want to be a blessing. Now, I may not always agree with all that they do, and I may not want to bring them in as for support because of some reasons that I don't think is proper, but he was a man of God, and we ought to help him. We ought to help him down the road as he goes, loving God and doing what he has to do and what God's called him to do. What I'm saying is, you don't have to agree with everything to help brethren. And I told him, I said, you come, and I'll guarantee you, we'll be a blessing to you, brother. You'll be welcome in our church, and we'll see to it. You have a good place to stay and meals and all those kind of things. Now, let me say to you, I believe we practice this not just today, but for many years. This church has practiced that. We have always seen to the needs of the missionaries that is coming through, the evangelists coming through, the brethren that's coming through, and we always try to help them down the road as they go. That's what he's going to talk about here in a few moments. As they go on to serve God, they're in God's work, they're in the ministry, they're serving God, and as they go to do that, they needed help. Amen. Going to the next town, next place. They're going to preach the gospel there. And we need to help them along. Get them over there, you see. You know, gas is high today. Let's hear an amen. I mean, it really is high today. So, you know, you've got to look at that. When you bring somebody in, you invite them in and you bring them in, you've got to look at that and make sure that you're giving them enough to pay for that gas and all that stuff that they have to pay for to get them here. And then so we can get them here and help them down the road, you see, to get to the next place and all of those kind of things. But that's what he was saying here. The reason I'm bringing and stressing that so much is that's proper. That was something that was a right thing to do here. And he was bragging on them and on this church because they did that. It was right and proper thing for them to do. So they were showing kindness to God's servants, and they was taking care of God's servant as they work for God among the people. Now let's go to verse number 6. And he says, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou being forward on their journey after a godly sort. In other words, this was not somebody who was just coming through and playing the game. There's always the deceivers. There's always the false prophets. Let me guarantee you, they always are. They always will be. You've got to discern between the two. He wasn't talking about those who was false prophets. He wasn't talking about those who were antichrist and teaching things that was antichrist. He wasn't talking about them. He's talking about the brethren who has come and helped those along on their journey after a godly sort. That's what they was in business for. That's what they was doing. They was working for God. So he said, help them along. And he said, it's a right and proper thing that you done. And he said, in fact, he says, thou shalt do well. I think it's good for God to say to us, well done. Be right and proper. You see, that's what we want to hear, is from God saying, well done. It's a good thing that you've done to help the folk along that's serving God, you see, and working for the Lord. He also, in verse number 7, he says, because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. There's some good teaching there. But you notice he said, for his name's sake. What was they going for? Because they'd set themselves aside for the name's sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, that's what their work was. They went for his name's sake, preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you notice, it said they took nothing from the Gentiles. Now, what he was saying is this, folks: we don't need the offerings and help from the unsaved. We need it from God's people. Amen? That's what we need it from. And if you'll notice there, they would not take from the Gentiles. That's why I'm so opposed. I've seen churches do it. It's wrong to do it. I've seen them go through this community. Years ago, I know they went through this community and knocked on doors. When we left Providence Baptist Church out there in the country and went and started in Blessed Hope Baptist Church, let me just tell you the story, they had a good amount of money, because we had built there, the people of the church had built a good amount of money we was going to build on. In fact, we had the foundation dug all ready to build on when all that thing blew up. So when it's all done, they came out there and covered the foundation up and all of that, and went around town and going to people and asking for money, because we had taken all the money. They didn't have any, and they need to redo the church. Well, the treasurer was one of the big shots in that story, and there was no such thing as anybody taking any money. He had it. That's wrong. And we don't practice that. We just let God's people take care of it. That's the way it's supposed to be done. It's a proper way, tithes and offerings. That's the way it's supposed to be done. And that's the way we do it here. And so he was saying here, they didn't ask. They took nothing from the Gentiles, speaking of the unsaved Gentiles there. They took nothing of them because they didn't want that stigma. They didn't ask nothing whatsoever from them. That's what we ought to do too. Amen. That's a bad testimony if we go out and try to get the world to help us build God's work. Wouldn't that be something if I put an ad in the paper and said, well, we need money down here, Blessed Hope. We got a building program. We want you to help us. Send in your donations. Wouldn't that be foolish? I'll guarantee you one thing, it wouldn't be where it is today if we did that. God would quit providing. Yeah. No, we just let God's people do it. Amen. So we find in verse number 8, he says, we therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers of the truth. So he said, those that are coming through, we ought to receive them so that we can be a blessing. They came there to that church and they was a blessing. You helped that church along. Now we ought to do the same thing so we can be considered fellow helpers. Amen. We want to get in on this blessing. And that's where the blessings come from. See, if you do right and do what God says to do in his word, God will bless. You ought to want to get in on the blessings. You ought to want to get in on helping God's people do God's work. You ought to want to be a part of that. That ought to excite you to do that, you see. And it's a right, proper thing to do. Now we come here in verse number 9, we come to the problem. He said, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Now here we have a problem. What happened was this. He said, I wrote to the church. I sent an epistle. I sent a letter to the church. And Diotrephes wouldn't receive it. Wouldn't listen. Now let me tell you the main problem with Diotrephes was he didn't want anybody over him whatsoever. And John the apostle had the apostle authority to be over him. God gave the apostle special authority. Very special. He had the right to be over this man, and he would not receive it. He said, I wrote an epistle to him, but he would not receive it. You notice the reason he would not receive it is, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. It even got so bad, if you'll notice in the scriptures there on down, he kicked them out of the church because they wanted to receive these people, these missionaries, these evangelists, these people coming through the church. He wanted to be the one who was the big shot, and he was. And let me tell you what I really believe. I don't believe that he was saved. Now, I'm judging the heart, but I look at this man, and there is no humility whatsoever in him. None whatsoever. Anybody that's going to be a leadership of any kind in the church is going to have to do something, and that is he's going to have to point people to Jesus Christ. That he is the shepherd, that he is the main one, that we give all our allegiance to him, and we welcome God's people. I've always welcomed God's people through here. I do my best to get people to come here and preach that'll be a blessing to you. And I let them come through here. I let a good evangelist come through here and take this pulpit and preach to you. I let good missionaries come through here and preach to you, teach the Word of God to you, tell us about the burden. I do that because it's proper to do that. That's what God wants us to do, is help the brethren along. So again, I'm saying this was a man who did not do that, and he wouldn't even receive John. He wouldn't have nothing to do. Here is the Apostle John, the great Apostle John, as far as I'm sure, one of the great apostles, you see, and he wouldn't even receive him. Wouldn't even let him come in. Didn't want nothing to do with him. Now look what he says. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth. Because here is some of his deeds. Prating against us with malicious words. You see, he was a man who began to talk against not only John, but I believe all of those that was coming through. He began to talk evil of those kind of people who was serving God and working for God and doing all these things they were supposed to do. And he began by words running these people down. Now listen, he done that because he wanted the preeminence. Now listen what he says. Us and prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and cast them out of the church. You see, he not only prayed against John, prated against John, spoke evil against John, but he also spoke evil about those who were traveling and coming through, the missionaries that was coming through, the, if you want to call them evangelists, but preachers and teachers that was coming through. He spoke against them and would not receive them. If you notice there, he says he doesn't receive the brethren and forbiddeth them that would. In other words, there were some people in the congregation said, you know what, we ought to allow these missionaries to come in. We want to hear them. We want to see what they got to say. They're doing the work of God. Let's hear these brethren. Now, I'm talking about brethren. I'm talking about people who are doing the work of God. I'm not talking about false prophets. It's my responsibility to stop a false prophet. It's my responsibility. I won't let anybody come in here and preach. I got to realize they must be God's people, God's men. You see, we ought to understand. But when they're God's men, I let them come. I let them come and preach. It's right to do that because they're going on down the road. We're going to help them on down the road. We're going to see to it that they're helped on with the work of God that God has given them to do. So he says, and forbiddeth them that would, and cast them out of the church. I mean, for some reason, this man had come to the place where he had the ability to just cast these people. If you want to bring those kind of people in, we'll just cast you out of the church. He had that authority. That was Diotrephes. He was a man who wanted preeminence. Now, the reason I'm stressing this, I want you to listen to me. Don't ever become a church where people in the church rise up and want to be the big shot. See, godliness is humility. And you've got to be careful. I'm saying this very seriously. You've got to be very careful. Because as you grow up in the church, there's times when you begin to feel more important than other folk. Uh-huh. And if you continue to grow like that, you're going to be an old fogey when you get old. You're going to be a troublemaker. When you begin to think that you're just it. You're the Mrs. and Mr. Perfect. It won't be long. You'll be looking down your nose at other people and the way they're doing their things. And it won't be long that you're going to become that type of a person in the church, and you're going to become a troublemaker. So get on your knees and get humbled. Amen. So you see, that thing don't come overnight. That comes over a long period with an attitude problem. I'm just going to be preeminence around here. I'm going to be the big shot. Anybody want to know anything, just come and see me. Amen. Watch it. You don't want a church like that. Amen. You don't want to be like that. No, you don't want to be like that. Amen. So if you are, get right with God. Just get right with God. Get it turned around. Get a humble spirit about you. Amen. Remember, all of us are in this for the same reason. We're here to serve God. We're here to see souls saved, people won to Christ, people grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. That's what it's all about. We're all working together to get that job done. We're not working so that you can be a big shot. Amen. Now, is that good preaching? Good. What he says is this: Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. In fact, he just simply comes up with a statement and says, don't do what the Diotrephes done. Don't do that. Follow good. Amen. You see, if you walk right and do right, God says that's good, that's proper, that's right, that's what you're supposed to do. Don't follow after evil. Don't do like he was doing. Amen. Don't be that kind of a person. Amen. Now he says in verse number 12, Demetrius hath good report of all men and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. He gave us an illustration then of a man who was doing right. He gave to both sides of it. In verse number 11, he said, Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He gave us an illustration of both of them. One of them was Diotrephes, one of them was Demetrius. Demetrius was a man who had a good report. And Gaius, I believe, also was a man who had a good report. Gaius was a godly man, and I believe God was using him to help keep things together there and help the people who really wanted to do right. I think that's what he was being used for at that time. Demetrius was another fellow. He said he just has a good report. He's reported of him. It's a good report, you see. And he said, so you follow after that. And he said, I also bear record. In other words, John said, I bear record of Demetrius's attitude. I bear record of the way he lives and his godliness. He said, and you know my record is true, is what John said. You know I'm telling you the truth. Amen. So he said, goes on and says, I have many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee. But I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name. What he's simply saying is this, folks. We've got a church here. We've got to run this church. I can't run any other church. I don't have any desire to run any other church. Let them do what they want to do. That's their business. That's up to them. That's not my business. But it is my business to be the pastor of this church. It's my business to be the pastor of this church, and I'm going to do it accordingly, the way I believe it is right and proper to keep this church as clean as we can keep it. And that's what I'm interested in. I'm glad for the other churches. Let them go. Let them do what they want to do, because I'm not the pastor. I'll rejoice when I hear people getting saved. If it's in another church, even though it's a church that I wouldn't want to attend, I'll say amen. If somebody got saved, I'll say amen to it and thank God for it. I'm all for it. But we here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church have to keep our church the way God would want us to have it. Just right down the line. That's the way we got to do it. And that's what we're going to do. You see, we're not going to do like some other churches would do. We're not going to do that. If that's the way they do it, that's their business. But we're going to do it the way we believe God wants us to do it. Amen. And we're going to help people. We're going to help the missionaries that come through, help the evangelists that come through. We're going to be a blessing to them. We're going to help them on down the road. That is right and proper. Don't ever, ever, ever get stingy. Just don't get stingy. Just be willing to help God's people. And I believe you have. We've given some mighty good offerings to evangelists that's come through here. Amen. Brother Jim Townsley came through here last fall. You know what you gave him as an offering? $1,400. You gave him an offering of $1,400. The man that told me is the best offering he had ever had as evangelist, you gave him $1,100 and some odd. I can't remember now. But you gave him $1,100. So I'm just simply saying to you, don't be stingy. Remember, it's your duty to take care of God's men. Is that right? Is that true? Sure it is. It's your duty to do that. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, thanking you for the grace of God, and your goodness and kindness. Thank you for who you are. And Lord, thank you for those who are working the work of God, and that we get a privilege to be a part of it and help them along down the road and be a blessing to them. And we want to thank you for that. And Lord, help us right in these things, keep right in these things, that we'll always do what is right and what's proper, Lord, for here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You've given us this church, Lord. And Lord, that's the ones that we have responsibility for. So you help us to be what we should be. And Lord, just go on for God. And Lord, bless accordingly as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen.